Good afternoon. This is the time and place for the Relocation and Deaccession Subcommittee of the Public Art and Community Design Committee. It is April 20th, 1:05 p.m. I will begin with a roll call to establish quorum. Jim Glock.
Present.
Kelly Way.
Present.
Wesley Cree.
Present.
Ann Lopez.
Here.
Thank you, and we do have a quorum. Item two on the agenda is introduction of guests and attendees. I will go ahead and start. Hello, everyone. My name is Sadie Shaw. I am the Public Art and Community Design Administrator at the Arts Foundation.
I'm Lizzie Perfect. Golden. I am Ward 5 appointee, and
Sadie, do you want to direct us since we have so many folks on today?
Sure. Thank you. Wilwin?
Hi, Wilwin Reyes, Director of Public Arts Foundation.
Adriana?
Adriana Gallego, CEO, Arts Foundation.
Gia?
Gia Del Pino, Communications Manager, Arts Foundation.
Yu-Yu?
Yu-Yu Shiratori, Public Art Collections Associate.
And Elma?
Elma Alvarez, Ward 5 Civic and Family Engagement Advisor.
Councilmember Barajas.
Hey, happy Monday, everyone. Selena Barajas here with Ward 5, Councilmember.
Lane.
Hi, I'm Lane Mandel, Chief of Staff to Tucson City Manager Tim Samir.
Thank you. Damien.
Damien Klinko, CEO of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation.
Chelsea.
Afternoon. Chelsea Farrar, Director of the University of Arizona Museum of Art.
And Michael. Michael. Okay, we'll come back to you. You're on mute if you're talking. And then Jim Glock.
Present.
Or if you just want to introduce yourself and your.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you?
For the life of me, I can't find the agenda for today's meeting, so.
I can text it.
Thank you. Jim Glock, chair of the subcommittee, deaccession and relocation committee for the public art committee design and committee. Sorry, I'm lost without my. Notes.
I understand. And then Wesley.
I'm Wesley Cree, and I am a member of the subcommittee, the Relocation Deaccession Subcommittee, as well as the PACD committee.
Thank you. Kelly?
Kelly Way, Cultural Affairs Office of the City of Tucson, and a member of the Relocation Deaccession Committee.
Anne?
I'm a Ward 4 appointee and a member of the Deaccession and Relocation Committee.
Thank you. Mariana?
Hey, everyone. Mariana Pegno, Senior Curator, Art and Social Practice from the Tucson Museum of Art.
And Earl?
I'm Earl O'Neill, a member of the South Park Neighborhood Association.
Thank you. And I think that is everyone. Did I forget anyone? Doesn't look like it. Thank you. Next on the agenda is call to the audience. Members of the public must sign up to speak at the call to the audience. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion to the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal matter. And it doesn't appear that we have anyone signed up to speak. Okay. Next on the agenda, item 4, approval of relocation and deaccession subcommittee minutes for December 11th, 2025.
Move Carol, to entertain approve. The motion.
Motion by Ann. Do we have a second? Was that a second, Jim?
Sure, I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Jim Glock?
Aye.
Kelly Way?
Yes.
Wesley Cree?
Yes.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Thank you, and we have unanimous approval. Next on the agenda is item 5, approval of relocation and deaccession subcommittee minutes for January 26th. 2026 meeting.
This is Jim Glock. Move approval.
Okay, motion by Jim.
I'll second. This is Kelly.
Thank you. Okay, any discussion? Hearing none, I will do a roll call vote. Jim Glock?
Aye.
Kelly Way?
Aye.
Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Thank you. And we have unanimous approval on that item. Next up is review administrative directives. Wilwin is going to be leading this item, and so I'll pass it on to Wilwin.
Thank you, Sadie. We usually take this time to do a refresher of the ADs because we often have new guests coming into these meetings. Because there's a lot of discussion today, I'm just going to focus on one main component, which is the criteria for relocation and deaccession. That's AD 7.01-7, 5A and B, which states that the PACT and the Relocation and Deaccession Subcommittee must consider relocating the artwork or repairing the artwork if damaged. B, deaccession or relocation of artwork may be considered for one or more of the following reasons. One, artwork is not or is rarely on display because of lack of a suitable site. Two, the condition or security of the artwork cannot be reasonably guaranteed. Three, the artwork has been damaged or deteriorated and repairs impractical or infeasible. Four, the artwork endangers public safety. Five, in case of site-specific artwork, no suitable site is available or significant changes in the use, character, or design of the site have occurred which affect integrity of the work. Six, the artwork has been determined to be significantly incompatible or inferior in the context of the collection, city's collection. The city wishes to replace the artwork with a work more significance by the same artist. Only got three more to go. The artwork requires excessive maintenance or has faults of design or workmanship and repair is impractical or unfeasible. Nine, there has been a sustained or overwhelming public objection to the artwork. 10, written requests from the artist. If anyone's interested, you can find the full administrative directives in the agenda, linked to the agenda today. So I'll just go on and move on to the next agenda for everybody. Thank you. And sorry, I'm under the weather, so I'm a little bit out of sorts.
Thank you, Wilwin. So if there's no questions on that, we can move to item 7, project overview of the mosaics at the HCD property located at 35th Street in Tucson.
I'm on mute. Hello, everyone. Can you all hear me and see my screen? Yes. Okay, great. Let me do this here. Okay, so for this agenda item, we're looking at Galanzo Espinosa and Alex Garza's artwork. These artworks were created in 1995. They are a series of mosaic murals created at the Hope Six Arts and Culture Partnership Building in the South Park neighborhood. A little bit of a insight into the artwork here. There's three mosaic panels depicting swirling human figures right on the outside of the building. So Espinosa and Garza are Tucson-based artists known for their collaborative public art, murals, and ceramic works, often focusing on community-driven projects. They have extensively worked in South Tucson with notable projects including community mural design and public art installations featuring mosaic tiles. So here, the image to the right is the location at 35th and Park. Currently, it's the city property that's being listed for sale, and part of these mosaic murals are embedded into the building, and we are looking to determine what to do next with them. So a little bit of a project overview. The Hope Six program was the part of the Department for Housing and Urban Development during the 90s. It was intended to revitalize the most distressed public housing projects in the U.S. and to mixed-income developments. In 1993, job training program in the arts was established, and Espinosa and Garza mentored 10 local youth in design and fabrication of 103 mosaic murals. Each panel murals around 3 by 3 feet, and the mosaics represent a collaborative community milestone. A little bit more information here on location. It's 949 East 35th Street, so 35th Street and Park. And here are some of the artworks that we are requesting input into relocation or deaccession. As I said before, the mosaic murals are for the most part adhered, embedded. So the three mosaic murals depicting human figures are embedded into the wall. There's like an inset where the mosaic panels are were created for that specific space. Here on the top right, we see the six panels. There are eight panels that is cornering, that's hugging the corner of the building, and an additional one at the second floor of the building depicting this organic shape comprised of six mosaic murals. Okay, and so if we travel down 35th Street a little bit off of Park, this is facing the front of the entrance of the building. We see here the two mosaic panels depicted in yellow. They straddle the outside of the parking lot. And there's one mosaic mural that's missing to the furthest right. But the two here outlined in red are the ones that are intact and in good condition. So if we walk inside the property, we will see, and we face outside towards the street, we'll see that there are three mosaic murals embedded on the inside of that wall. They measure around 3 by 3. One on the, the west side of this wall is in fair to poor condition. The other ones are in good condition. And again, these are embedded into the wall. And so looking into the property a little bit further, there's this one with the flag and the three figures, which is still intact. And then there are two that have been removed from the inset of the wall that was created for. And these three mosaic murals are in the furthest north end of the property. Okay, and that's just a quick presentation of the art objects that we're looking at. Of course, this came up because of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation have brought it up to us, and the property is being listed for sale. It is pending. It's not being slated for sale immediately, but we're looking to either place these into storage, relocate them in another city-owned property, put them through the deaccession process, which means removing them from the city's collection,
And so these are some of the options available. This is just a quick overview of the deaccession process and where we are. So we had done a relocation deaccession review of the project from the broader PACDC, and now we're just looking to determine the next steps to resolving the relocation. And if there's any additional information or other support that we can provide into making the determination for the subcommittee. Okay, and that is this agenda item.
Thank you, Yu. Are there any comments or questions?
Do we know what the fee would be to move it and place it somewhere else?
So we had an estimate for a different project. My assumption, this is like a very loose estimate. It would be around like 7,000, 5,000, 7,000. It was mentioned that because some of the mosaic murals are set into the wall, there's, of course, like potential for damage or breaking them in the process.
Are the artists still alive? Are they here today?
They're not here today. I wasn't able to contact them. I reached out to both of them several times through the various emails I've come across and phone numbers, and haven't heard back.
So, Member Barajas?
Thank you. I have a question. When we talk about South Tucson, were they done through the Las Artes program in the city of South Tucson? Was that who was commissioned to do some of the artwork when, was this a Las Artes project?
My thinking on that is those are two artists that were prominent members in the Las Artes. I can double check on that, but the program that it was created through was a job training program in the arts. Okay. So that's specifically to work with youth and have like an artist mentor.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing Alex's name with Les Artes back in the 90s. If they have to be relocated, do they all of the pieces have to be relocated together, or can it be like one piece at different locations scattered?
I think that's something that the subcommittee can make a determination on.
If I could clarify, this address is in the South Park neighborhood of the city of Tucson. This is not in the city of South Tucson, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. But just the south side of Tucson. Mm-hmm.
Will win. You're on mute. You're on mute, Will win.
I had so much to say, I just said. Sorry. These works are on the same site as the next artworks we're going to be talking about in the next agenda item. And that's what brought these to light. I will note that artwork has been through two meetings already, so there's a lot of forward movement. This is the first subcommittee meeting for these specific mosaic artworks. They were just approved by the larger PACDC at our monthly meeting to bring them up for discussion. So in these early stages, it's an opportunity for us to do more exploration and then put our brains together, our collective minds, to see if we can find more details that might help us. Like if anyone happens to know these artists personally, it might help, because our traditional meaning methods of trying to reach out have been the challenge.
I was going to mention, I know Gonzalo and I can get in touch with him about this as a first step or as a next step.
Okay.
Yeah, and I believe somebody, I believe Alex Garza actually was the artist commissioned to do the South 6, the Cesar Chavez Bridge. So I think somebody's been in touch with him from, I don't know, from the city end, but it's an ADOT bridge. But he was the artist that did some of that artwork that's being removed currently.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
If I might consider making a motion to continue this item, giving staff and other committee members an opportunity to contact the artists, and for staff to have a further opportunity to determine the status of the art's ability to be relocated and that's it. So that's a motion, is to continue the item to our next PACD subcommittee meeting with staff pursuing those items I considered and anything else they believe is pertinent.
Thank you. We have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I can second that.
Second by Wesley. Any further discussion?
Just a note, in staff's due diligence before the next meeting, reach out to members of the South Park community to the extent possible, please.
Thank you, Jim. Any other comments?
Okay. I would love to see if we could also bring in some folks from the Quincy Douglas Center to also be a part of the discussion, because this could also be a space of opportunity to relocate, as well as our Ward 5 office too. But I would want to hear from the artists before moving forward. And I do know we have somebody here from the South Park Neighborhood Association, Mr. O'Neill, so we could also bring them back to the conversation.
Can I ask a clarifying question, too? Is that okay?
Of course.
I'm just wondering, in for both of these, are there any records or documentations on commission agreements or, like, payment records to the artists for the, like, the commission intent on these projects and the site? I reviewed the materials that were provided for the meeting, but I didn't know if there were any, like, archival records based on that specific piece to relate to these works.
We don't have any information on, like, contract or commission information.
Thank you.
And I would like to further clarify that when our team first began this administration of the Arts Foundation in 2020, we learned that several years before there had been a big flood at one of the prior addresses where the Arts Foundation or Tucson FEMA Arts Council held archives, and information was lost at that time. So our team has been looking through records that we have left, the paper trail, and all of the respective digital documents that we have been stewarding, and digitizing a lot of the archival stuff too.
Any other comments? Okay, I will go ahead and do a roll call vote. Jim Gluck?
Aye.
Kelly? Wei? Kelly Wei?
Aye.
Thank you. Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Thank you, and we have unanimous approval for that item. Next on the agenda is public art relocation or deaccession for the Clement Turnkey at the HCD property. Yu-Yu?
Always on mute. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Thank you. So this agenda item is for the Charles Clement turnkey sculptures. These are situated in the South Park neighborhood, created around 1970. They are cast concrete. So here's a brief timeline of the relocation deaccession meeting and how we are all at this meeting today. So in July 2025, the request from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation came in to review the artwork condition. From July to October, we've had consultations with conservators, various art handlers, and meetings with city departments to address the inquiry. October 2025, the request to the PAC-DC to form a subcommittee was made. In December, the review was reviewed by the Relocation Deaccession Subcommittee. In January, the review by the Relocation Deaccession Subcommittee was motioned by the members to forward the request to the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission and seek their opinion. And in February, we received the formal deaccession request through the other subcommittee. And so in March, the review was, it was reviewed by the two subcommittees of the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission. The Historic Landscape Subcommittee recommended that recollecting the turnkey sculptures to a place that has a connection to the artist would be appropriate. In March 2026, the review by the, there was another review by the Plans Review Subcommittee. There was no motion there. And in April 8th, there was the update to the PACD, the broader PACD-C on this agenda item. And today we are having just a follow-up on the next steps. So we've, everyone has probably familiarized with the artists at this point, but I'm gonna just go over this very quickly. Charles Clement is a prolific mid-century sculptor and architectural artist. He's created multiple civil works around Tucson. One of the most notable ones in the city is the El Presidio Fountain. And there's another one at the administrative building at the University of Arizona. A little bit of background on where the projects came about. In 1970, Charles Clement created a series of sculptures for an 80-unit turnkey housing project. The housing units were scattered throughout South Park neighborhood as a new approach to integrating public housing into community. The sculptures are placed on the property of low-income housing units, and they're designed to arouse pride in the neighborhood through aesthetic expression. So even though these are individual scattered objects, they're considered to be a single sculpture. So through this, the request from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation came about, and it states between 1995 and 2006, during redevelopment associated with the South Park public housing area, the turnkey sculptures were removed from their original locations and setting without consultation with the Clement estate or Clement family. And this is just to ground us in where the various locations are of the Clement sculptures that were surfaced. So we'll start here in Silver Lake Park. The dots in red, there are four scattered around the perimeter of Silver Lake Park. The other location is at Silver Lake and Fremont. That's a single object. And then the additional location, there are eight at 35th Street and Park. Okay, so this is a brief overview of all the objects at 35th and Park. So there are four columns along the perimeter of, well, there's four columns and two panel sculptures along the perimeter of along the street of Park Ave, and then the two cube sculptures are on 35th Street. So here's a little bit detailed images of the objects we are looking at. An additional area that we are
looking at Silver Lake and Park, this object to the farthest left, the flower panel, is right at the corner of Keno and Silver Lake Road. On the other side, it's been painted, and the view that we're looking at now is the artisan tent. It's the raw concrete. The two images in the middle here are park benches that that are scattered around the parking, or well, it's like the, yeah, the parking area along the park. And then the green column structure is closer in towards the neighborhood. Okay, and this one is Silver Lake Park and Silver Lake Road and Fremont. This is right at the corner of the Mirasol Park. It is on the northwest corner. And this one is largely, it's intact in pretty great condition. And then we have an overview of all of the sculptures being requested for deaccession. So this is just the request to remove artwork from city property from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. THPF respectfully requests that the city of Tucson return the surviving Charles Clement sculptures from removed during the South Park redevelopment to the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation for proper conservation, interpretation, and long-term stewardship. Reinstallation is proposed at the Bondante House, designed by Clement in 1956, and now owned by the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, where the works can be preserved, contextualized, and publicly accessible within architecturally historically appropriate setting. This action will ensure that Clement's public artworks are cared for consistent with their artistic significance and restored to an environment that reflects the intent, integrity, and legacy of the artist. This is a brief summary from the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission subcommittees. So in January 2026, the Relocation Deaccession Subcommittee referred to this commission for expert opinion. The role of the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission is they are an advisory board for the city of Tucson, Pima County, and they address matters related to historical site structures, properties within historic preservation zones, and historic landmarks. As I mentioned earlier, the request was reviewed by two subcommittees of this commission, Historical Landscape Subcommittee and Plans Review Subcommittee. This is from the Historical Landscape Subcommittee. Just a brief summary. Discussion focused on the significance and integrity of the group of sculptures. Commissioners motioned that given the significance of the group of as a work of Charles Clement and the diminished integrity of the ensembles as a whole, the remaining sculptures would be best served by relocation at the Bondante House, where they could be appropriately maintained and viewed by the public. This is taken from the legal action report. Additionally, the plans review subcommittee, there was no motion, as I mentioned before, but their opinion and recommendation were based off integrity and artist intent. The sculptures are significant but have lost their integrity because they are scattered, damaged, and removed from their original context. As individual objects, they no longer represent the artist's intent. Stewardship, moving the artworks to the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation is recommended as a viable way to ensure professional repair and long-term care. There were concerns about equity and public access, strong hesitation regarding the removal of public art from an under-resourced neighborhood into private stewardship. We received a letter from the South Park Neighborhood Association. They support preserving the turnkey sculptures within the neighborhood, noting their importance to South Park neighborhood across three areas. Artistic significance, the sculptures represent a rare and vital example of historic public art within the neighborhood, providing value in an area where few art installations exist. Historical significance, the pieces serve as a physical timeline of the community's evolution. They originated from the Turnkey Housing Project, a major federal urban renewal effort specific to the area in the late 60s and 70s. And practical significance, beyond their symbolic value, the sculptures serve functional purposes. For example, the only benches in Silver Lake Park, which are remnants of the original project, provide essential seating for residents and users of the park. South Park Neighborhood Association requests that the neighborhood's interest be considered in any future plans and formally asked be included in all discussions regarding the fate of the sculptures. And we had also received a message from council member Barajas stating after engaging with South Park community leaders and the neighborhood association and other stakeholders, it's become clear that there's strong interest in keeping the pieces within the community. Cultural preservation and reactivating our parks is a priority I am committed to elevating in Ward 5, particularly given the limited number of designated historic landmarks in our area. With that in mind, I would welcome the opportunity to work together on a path forward. Specifically, I would like to explore solutions and timeline for relocating the Clement pieces to Silver Lake Park, where they could serve as an accessible, interactive, and educational space that honors their historical and cultural significance. A little bit of, I guess, housekeeping information. We had reached out to a few art handlers, and this is just information on the de-installation removal costs. Of course, they are professionals, and they would be able to manage the artwork accordingly. And the fee, the estimated cost to deinstall or remove the artwork is around $7,000, maybe $8,000, I should say. And this is just to the initial handling and removal of the artworks from their current site. Additionally, conservation and restoration services. The objective would be restoring the integrity of the Clements abstract concrete blocks by removing unintentional coats of paint and bringing the artist's artwork back up to integrity. The conservation and restoration services are all met by professional standards and AIC compliance. They have a code of ethics and prioritize minimal intervention and material compatibility. The price for restoring every single object, the baseline is around $6,000 to $9,000, and it depends, of course, on which specific sculpture we're looking at. Okay, and so with all that, thank you for listening through that presentation. We are looking for input and how to move forward with this request. The options available to the subcommittee after today are subsequent meetings. Storage, relocation, deaccession, and repair would be paired with either relocation or deaccession. So thank you all.
Thank you, Yu. Now we can have comments or questions. Willwin, I see your hand up.
Hello, just wanted to make a point of clarification. The quote we received from Art Solutions, it's a our handling company in Scottsdale, was for specifically just the works at the site on the corner of Park and was that other road? I forget it. So in this component where storage is an option for now, the idea is that the works that are in the most peril on a construction site next to an active construction site would be the ones currently for a discussion of storage within that budget. So if there was a request by the subcommittee to think about it larger, there would be more questions because there's also different property ownership of department, city department property ownership for the different sites being parks and housing and community development.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Well, okay, so Earl O'Neill has a statement that they was planning to speak to. Is there time for that?
Of course.
Okay, so I prepared a statement. A lot of it duplicates some of what we just heard in the presentation, but if it makes sense if I could just read it through. The South Park neighborhood in Tucson is a historically underserved community. Because of the low income of neighborhood residents and the historical lack of services, the federal government chose the South Park neighborhood for two attempts at urban renewal. The first attempt occurred in the late 1960s and early 1970s. It was called the Turnkey Project and was later renamed the Robert F. Kennedy Homes. That project constructed 80 low-income multi-unit housing projects. As part of the project, Charles Clement constructed 16 turnkey sculptures, which were installed amongst the turnkey project buildings that were scattered about in the South Park neighborhood. The second attempt was the awarding of a Hope 6 grant to the City of Tucson's South Park neighborhood in 2000. Among other things, the Hope 6 grant resulted in the demolishing of 52 of the 80 turnkey projects and replacing them with 28 new multi-unit buildings. The demolition of the turnkey buildings was accompanied by relocation of the turnkey sculptures. The Pima County Assessor's web pages contain information about the property at 1067 East Silver Lake Road. Based on that information and the fact that a Charles Clement turnkey sculpture is currently installed in the front yard of that property, it is reasonable to assume that the current buildings were constructed as part of the turnkey project. If so, the property serves as an existing example of the placement of a turnkey sculpture with respect to a turnkey multi-unit housing project. The location of that property next to the Marisol Park means that anyone driving westward on East Silver Lake Road or visiting Marisol Park has a clear view of that turnkey sculpture and its relationship to the turnkey project building. The Pima County Assessor's web pages also contain information about the property at 949 East 35th Street. Based upon information in those web pages and some other documentation, this was also a location of a turnkey project, multi-unit housing project. Two permits were issued on May 5th, 2005. One permit was described as Art Studio Building A. The other permit was described as Art Studio Building D. There are six JPEG images on the property on the web pages. All six images are dated March 14, 2006, and show the installation of several turnkey sculptures by Charles Clement. The current locations of those sculptures are the same as shown in the six images. It is possible that those turnkey sculptures were relocated from the properties that contain turnkey project buildings that were demolished as part of the Hope 6 grant. This particular turnkey project residential fiveplex building was converted into an arts and culture center. Conversations with long-term residents of the South Park neighborhood indicate that there was an attempt to teach local residents how to create sculpture and other art forms at that location. The turnkey sculptures served as examples of sculpture for the students and for the public. During the time of implementation of the Hope 6 grant, the South Park Neighborhood Association learned that some buildings were being demolished and sculptures related to those buildings could be relocated for placement in Silver Lake Park. The South Park Neighborhood Association members were excited about the prospect of having some sculptures in the park and even more excited to find out that some of the sculptures could serve as park benches. Currently, the only two benches in Silver Lake Park are those relocated turnkey sculptures. Those benches are valued by people who walk Silver Lake's multi-use path, wish to rest and view the park scenery, and/or watch a live soccer game. A third turnkey sculpture provides a friendly welcome to the park, to people who enter the northeastern corner of the park, and to people who drive by that corner of the park. The fourth turnkey sculpture greets people who enter the park from the west. All of the sculptures can be seen and enjoyed by people who use the three-quarter mile multi-use path. We recently learned that the City of Tucson is planning to sell the property at 949 East 35th Street, and that there has been a request to relocate all of the turnkey sculptures outside of the South Park neighborhood. That request claims negligence on the part of the City of Tucson with respect to care for the turnkey sculptures and claims that the City of Tucson Administrative Directive 7.01-7 demands deaccession of all the sculptures. Unfortunately, the request for deaccession and relocation appears to ignore the interests of the South Park neighborhood and of public input. Administrative Directive 7.01-7 requires that a specific process be followed, and that process expects input from the public. Consider the following sentence fragments from the administrative directive. Ensure the interests of the public are respected. Requests involve careful consideration of public opinion. Public interest must inform decisions. A public hearing to discuss relocation deaccession options will be scheduled with community members. Documentation of community input. It is worth noting that all of the turnkey sculptures were created long before the date of that administrative directive. This week, we learned from a city employee that the city of Tucson needs permission from the federal government because it can sell or even remodel properties that have benefited from federal funding. Because the federal urban renewal funds were intended to benefit the South Park neighborhood, we are attempting to determine whether or not the city of Tucson needs permission from the federal government to relocate the turnkey sculptures outside of the South Park neighborhood. We learned that the city of Tucson has the option of selling the property at 949 East 35th Street, either with or without the turnkey sculptures. If the city of Tucson sells the property without the turnkey sculptures, then Silver Lake Park would be a good site for relocation of the sculptures. There is plenty of available space within the park for placement of the sculptures. That would allow those sculptures to reside along with the turnkey sculptures that are already in the park. Such a relocation would continue to allow the sculptures to be freely available to the public and would allow the South Park neighborhood to retain the sculptures as reminders of important parts of its history. The turnkey sculptures were created for the benefit of the residents of the South Park neighborhood. They have been on public display in the South Park neighborhood for more than 50 years, and most of them have been in the current locations for more than 20 years. These sculptures are part of the historical record and visual appearance of the South Park neighborhood and are highly valued by the neighborhood. The turnkey sculptures should remain in the South Park neighborhood because of their historic, artistic, and cultural significance to the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? Damien?
Thank you so much. We also have a statement that we'd like to read into the record, if it's possible.
Go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, council members, chair, and members of the committee. I would like to begin by addressing a narrative that has been introduced to the discussion. And there's been an implication that the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation is somehow not an appropriate steward or a credible partner in a solution related to this art. That assertion is not supported by the facts, and it's important to correct the record. For more than 40 years, the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation has been a leading organization in this community in the area of arts, culture, preservation, and public interpretation. Our work is visible, it's sustained, and it's grounded in public benefit. We produce original scholarship annually through journal publication, documenting and interpreting the work of artists, architects, and designers from Tucson and Southern Arizona with a focus on the stories of individuals from underrepresented communities. We've mounted exhibits and research initiatives focused on figures such as Dolores Gonzalez, Juan Warner-Baz, Barbara Mettler, Charles Clement, Frank Pantania, Giorgio Bololi, and others who shaped the cultural and visual fabric of this region. And this includes work that directly engages with the legacy and stewardship of public art. Our work extends beyond interpretation into action. We've been directly engaged with preservation efforts that address equity, access, and cultural memory. This includes our decades-long fight to preserve the Black Officers Club at Fort Huachuca, leading the effort to designate Barrio Viejo as a National Historic Landmark, and the preservation of the Meza Matus House in Old Pascua. We also operate an historic property trust that serves as a platform for public engagement and education and allows public access to these sites. This includes Hirsch's Shoes, which houses our archives and offices, the Ball Paler House, an internationally recognized example of early passive solar design that functions as a living museum and is used regularly by students from the University of Arizona and visitors from around the world, and now the Bondante House, which will house the artistic heritage of Charles Clement, who designed the house for his family. I would also like to note that this work does not occur in isolation. The Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation regularly partners with museums, scholars, and cultural institutions in the research, exhibition, and interpretation of material culture. Our approach to stewardship is informed by National Historic Preservation and other like museum standards, including conservation practices, documentation, and the responsible interpretation of public art and cultural resources. Our board of directors includes former curators of the Arizona State Museum and the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. Our work has been recognized by multiple governors of the state of Arizona, the Arizona Humanities Council, and multiple organizations and academic partners. Next week, we will receive the Drachman Institute at the University of Arizona Community Impact Award for our engagement with students in the planning and stewardship of the Bondante House in particular. That recognition reflects the role this work plays not only in preservation, but also in education and public access. Our work is funded almost entirely through private donations. It's accountable to the community, and it's sustained through partnership, scholarship, and long-term stewardship. So when it's suggested that our organization is not qualified to participate in a solution involving public art, or that the properties we manage are somehow insignificant or merely short-term rentals, it's not a neutral observation. It's a dismissal of the decades of documented public work and inconsistent with the record before you. Turning to the matter at hand, these public works have been materially compromised through loss, fragmentation, and displacement. That condition has been documented, and the artist estate has determined that because of the loss and destruction of the elements and first relocation, they no longer reflect the work of Charles Clement. For more than 9 months, we have formally notified the Arts Foundation, and since December, we have also notified this committee of the condition of these works, including documented damage, ongoing deterioration, and lack of even basic security. No meaningful action has been taken to stabilize or secure them. Fragments of the most severely damaged element have been scattered along the side of a road, exposed and unsecured with trash. The condition is not stewardship. Under Administrative Directive 7.1.07, the committee does not have the discretion to ignore condition. The directive establishes a required process. It requires that damaged works be evaluated using professional judgment, that repair and relocation be considered, and that deaccession be pursued when reasonable efforts to resolve the condition have failed. It also establishes that the determination must be grounded in a careful and impartial evaluation of the work within the context of the city's collection. In this case, the relevant criteria is clear. The works have been damaged, dispersed, and altered. Their condition cannot be reasonably secured, and the original configuration has been compromised. There are also explicit conditions under which deaccession is to be considered. So what the directive does not support is inaction, or the continued display of fragmented works in a condition that no longer reflect the artist's intent. At a minimum, these pieces need to be moved into secure storage. Relocating these elements into a park setting where four currently exist and are being actively damaged does not resolve the condition issues. It prolongs deterioration and continues to misrepresent the work and the artist's intent. Our recommendation and request is consistent with the directive as written. Based on the documentation and documented condition of the work and the failures of reasonable efforts to resolve that condition in place, the appropriate next step is deaccession. Following deaccession, the directive explicitly allows for the transfer to a nonprofit institution. The Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation has offered to accept the surviving elements, stabilize them, and present them within a historic context directly associated with the artist, where their history, including their fragmentation and loss, can be interpreted accurately. This includes acknowledging that, due to their current condition, the works no longer reflect the work of Charles Clement as a unified composition. In that way, it can be preserved and presented to the public as a historic resource, not as a work of art. This is not outside of policy. This is one of the outcomes the policy was designed to produce. And I would ask the committee to apply Administrative Directive 7.0.7 as written. We appreciate your consideration and recognize that the damage and loss of this work is not what anybody intended or wanted. However, based on the current conditions and the requirements of the directive, we don't see a responsible alternative that meets the city's own standard for stewardship or the artist's intent.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? Chelsea?
Thank you. So I'm just curious, I've heard a couple of different folks use the word intent. Do we have any documentation of the artist's intent aside from the their estate?
The only additional concrete evidence would be the Smithsonian catalog. We don't have any additional information, excuse me, regarding intent.
Okay. Outside of the fact that it was made for public art.
Can you repeat the question?
Well, I guess there's kind of an assumption that it was created with the intent of being public?
They were created for low-income housing units, so yes.
And not like inside a place or behind a wall that the public could engage with it? Okay. But yeah, it's a follow-up question that, Damon, you, I know you're raising your hand.
I have some thoughts on your
interview. Yeah. So I guess that's like a follow-up to my question is like how is there a way to ensure that public access is still possible? And I know preservation, conservation has been an issue. Like, is there a way to ensure that as well through a deaccession process?
And Chelsea, just to chime in, that your question is sort of getting at why I was asking about commission agreements, the same, like the intent in that commission, what was the, for both pieces, right? What was the intent there?
Damien, did you want to comment on that question?
Yeah, I can just provide a few very sort of general comments. One, the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation over the last decade has been given the Charles Clements archive, all of his design work, all of his papers and records and photographs. There were some photographs that are at special collections at the U of A, but 97% of the materials are housed with the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. So in that material, there is a lot of writing about his artistic intent, the type of art that he developed. There are photos of this work in site when it was developed inside of this public housing development. It wasn't in a park. It wasn't in the street. It actually had this very residential context. And we have found landscape drawings that show the placement of those scattered within this residential environment. And I think that the artist's estate really has insight into his artistic practice and the type of work that he developed and his goals in the production of his artwork. There, we were not able to locate an artist agreement or a contract in that work. However, there was records around the work, and that we've been able to uncover. So that's one. Two. One of our suggestions, because the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation purchased and restored the Bondante House, we have a record of designating properties as City of Tucson landmarks, which provide a regulatory framework for review, which is actually stronger than any other alternative path that we've heard discussed. So what we were proposing was to take these works and place them into a context that's attached to this artist as these sort of historical fragments that would allow the public, you know, we make that property available. We held actually a retrospective of that artist, of Charles Clement and his work there at the end of last year. But it would allow the public to be able to see the works, understand them in a better way. There is a front yard, a backyard. There's different places that they could be developed. We haven't created a site plan or come up with a way of how that could happen. But certainly through all of this, our intention would be to make them as forward facing as possible so that the public would have some sort of access to them on a regular basis, and then more in depth on a more formalized basis. But that designation as a local landmark truly would protect them moving forward, because any changes to that site would require a review by the Historical Commission, and demolition would require mayor and council approval. So it's a much more significant type of regulatory overlay than exists currently.
Council Member Barajas.
Hi, everyone. So I know I haven't attended these meetings yet, just being in office for the last 4 months, been working a lot on onboarding and having a lot of conversations with neighbors. And this has been brought up during different occasions. But before I share what I've been hearing and just the conversations I've been having, I do want to share some good news moving forward about the park. Silver Lake Park is also going to see a lot of reinvestment. They're going to receive a new walking path, which could also provide an opportunity for our residents, South 22nd Street, to engage in some of this artwork and also be mobile. The park's going to receive a covered basketball court, a covered ramada, a playground with shade structure, and also a parking lot renovation. So this is also an exciting time, not just for the South Park neighborhood, but for the park itself. And with this conversation, this ongoing conversation, I would like our residents, specifically our South Park neighbors, to have access to engaging with this artwork that it was intended to be for this community. You know, when you think about the area, we don't have a lot of historic neighborhoods, identified neighborhoods. We don't have a lot of historic destinations, identified destinations or landmarks. So a big priority coming out of our Ward 5 office is cultural preservation, is archiving, is going to be oral history storytelling and just the education and awareness. So I am going to advocate for these pieces to be in place at Silver Lake Park alongside our neighbors, because they too should have access to what we experience inside museums. You know, this could present itself as not just an educational opportunity, but really an opportunity for our residents to engage in historic preservation conversations. You know, we don't have a lot of spaces in this community, and just working in this community and being from this community, I know, because it's an ongoing struggle for our residents to go and engage in these historic preservation conversations. So this could also present an awesome opportunity to work in collaboration with the Arts Foundation, with Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, to bring some more remote programming at this park. It could present itself as an innovative experience for our community. So I'm just sharing that because I know in the past, you know, the city, you know, overlooked this community, and with me being the council member, I'm going to make sure that this community is no longer overlooked. And the fact that the parks is going to be investing in this community, I'm hoping that this could present itself for a new Renaissance era. And I feel like with the walking path alone, it could present itself as a good opportunity to do something innovative to work together. So I just want to share that because there's a lot of exciting things happening in the South Park community.
Thank you. Wesley?
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to tie a few through lines between what's being discussed at this meeting and what I remember being discussed at our very first subcommittee meeting where we took on this agenda item. I remember some very initial reactions being interest in hearing from the stakeholders in the South Park community. And so I am happy that that is happening today. It was a process. I believe subcommittee member Glock, he is the one who mentioned his interest in that at our very first meeting. I also think everyone is in full agreement. There is absolutely no disagreement over the fact that these sculptures are in disrepair and should be fully conserved to be enjoyed again, because they have so much different value, but historical significance, social significance, neighborhood value. So I think everyone is on the same page. I think the question is, as when considering the directives that Mr. O'Neill pointed out today, is what best serves the community, what best serves the most directly affected stakeholders. I know from just my own experience of walking around Silver Lake Park, I'm a Ward 5 resident, and also visiting the 35th and Park site. The sculptures that were relocated to Silver Lake Park, while they are not in pristine condition by any means, they are in much better condition than those, or at least some of those on the roadside on 35th and Park property. These pieces are all over 50 years old, So obviously they are needing a full conservation and restoration process. And as I said, I think everyone can agree of the benefits to that and the necessity of that. Other directives, as I've been studying what our directives are and the considerations we should make on behalf of the subcommittee and our role in that on this committee, is it's stated that we should always look for relocation options over deaccession. And it seems like a lot of interest and enthusiasm and ideas have been presented here today that offer relocation opportunities and ideas versus a full deaccession of the works. And that's what I would like to consider closely today.
Thank you. Anne?
I have a question about if these were to be moved into the Silver Lake Park, as the community seems to be interested, how would it be funded to restore these and to keep them in great condition? They have to be repaired. They have to be conserved. I'm interested in how the conservation and restoration would happen. And maybe that's beyond the purview of the committee, but it is something that concerns me.
You do you have a response to that question?
We do have maintenance funds allocated for projects. So just depending on, you know, the determination of the objects, we are willing to support either direction. So,
yeah, so I've got to chime in, but I wasn't sure if that was directed to anyone in particular. Yes, as far as conserving and preserving artworks, we will do our best to manage it, but that's just something we'll work on in partnership with the city. And if a relocation to Silver Bell is something that this committee wants to put forward, and it still needs to be approved by the Art Foundation board and board members, and ultimately it's city manager's distinction of what to do with these, we would have to partner with parks, of course, to, you know, find locations, and none of this would be doable unless we've worked with Damien's Foundation to provide the context and didactics required to provide the context that would be needed in a park setting. So there's a lot of what ifs that we can answer later, but I think if we can get some forward movement from the subcommittee, then we can determine who's responsible for what when that comes to pass. Sorry for making a long answer, like super long.
Thank you. Wesley? Oh, you're on mute.
Thank you. The other thing I was going to mention earlier is that it has been a long process discussing all the options and opportunities here and considering the requests being made. But the longer we take to make any sort of decision, the longer the sculptures are going to be in at risk. And so I think, yeah, I agree, Wilwyn. I think moving forward with a motion today to put the 35th Street and Park Avenue sculptures into storage so they can be restored and eventually replaced, relocated on Silver Lake Park while we explore those options, would at least now keep the continued deterioration, would at least put a halt to the continued deterioration of those works, as we all acknowledge should be halted sooner than later. And so I guess I could turn that into a formal motion if we are ready for that.
Any other comments or questions, Damian?
No, I just, again, I just have one sort of final thought, which is, you know, the artist's estate is not here. Chris Bondante, who represents the estate and is the surviving family member, had surgery and couldn't attend this meeting. But I have had conversations with her, and she really remains firm that this work, 25% of the sculpture is either destroyed or lost. It is a single sculpture. You know, there's this continual conversation that they're different sculptures. It's a single work. It was a unified conceptual piece that was in an integrated residential environment. And so now there are fragments of that work that survive. And it is, you know, it's concerning that any proposal would relocate them to a location. We're going to, you know, spend a lot of funds to protect and restore elements of a work, and it won't ever be that artist's work again. It's like a fragment of a work. And how that is interpreted, how that's explained, and will it meet the goals or the intent of the artist? You know, I think that's really a question for which the you know, your directive makes really clear is a priority. And so having that conversation with the estate in a formal way, I think is really critical, because it's, our proposal was a response to what's happened and a solution to try to, you know, sort out or restore some of the historic integrity from a sort of a federal historic preservation framework. And so, you know, it really, I think, is critical that you dialogue with the estate to try to find, you know, a path forward, because ultimately you're just going to display some objects that were created by an artist but isn't their work anymore. And that's really troubling, because that's not consistent with, I think, our aspirational goals as a city for public art.
Okay. I have a comment to Earl O'Neill. Displaying these sculptures at a private residence will not be consistent with the original intent of the sculptures. There's no way in that limited space that you are going to reproduce the overall scattered display at individual buildings. You know, you'll be displaying at a single building. It will not be replicating the intent of the sculpture. Okay, the second thing is, these sculptures, you want to call them remnants or a single sculpture, either way, they were intended for the benefit of the South Park neighborhood, and they were funded by the federal government for that purpose. And from the standpoint of the South Park neighborhood, we would like to hold on to our history. Thank you.
Jim?
A point of order. Before we continue with any discussion, we should get a second on the motion. And if we get no second, then the motion doesn't move forward. So with that, I will second the motion. With the request of the maker of the motion to not necessarily specify the ultimate location of these pieces, but the motion to basically be to direct the city and Arts Foundation to secure and protect these pieces as we continue this discussion. If that's acceptable to the maker of the motion, I'll second it.
And just to clarify, Wesley, your motion was to relocate the Clement artworks at the 35th Street and Park property into storage for restoration?
Yes, and maybe these are separate motions, but with the intention of them relocating to a site in South Park neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Potentially Silver Lake Park. But.
Okay. I'm sorry, Wesley, I thought that the motion said to relocate them to that, but I think what you said was to use that location to store them and secure them. So with that, I will second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Sadie, for clarity, can you please repeat the full motion? Because there's instances where minutes and motions may differ, and I just want to be crystal clear. Thank you.
Of course. What I have is a motion to relocate the Clement artworks at 35th Street and Park into storage for restoration with the intent of relocating them to a site in South Park neighborhood. Is that correct?
Yes.
This is Jim Glock. That's my understanding. That's my second stance.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
I have some items that don't relate to the motion I'd like to raise, but they don't relate directly to the motion.
So just for clarity, just for clarification, so you're not addressing in any other way the other two locations where these sculptures are currently placed as part of this motion, just so we're clear.
Yes, I believe the motion is specific to the City of Tucson property on 35th Street, not the ones at Silver Lake Park or down the way from there.
Yes, I mean, I don't know how much we can add to a motion, but the eventual restoration of all the works would be part of this larger plan in my mind.
And this agenda item is only about the artworks at the 35th Street property, so that's all we can.
Okay, great.
Kelly?
Just one point of clarification, I guess. For me, it makes sense to break apart these two suggestions, that we would vote to remove them and restore them, store and restore them, and then have another motion as to where they are relocated or where, how we address that in the future.
Well, it's been seconded. If you'd like to make a substitute motion.
No, not at this time.
We could also divide the question, I guess.
I'll just state from conservation and deaccession best practices, it is like to treat conservation and deaccession as one discussion, and then the secondary, not tethered dialogue would be to engage in a conversation about relocation, right? So they should be treated as very separate pieces. We know that in the art world, deaccessioning is a fun hot button topic that blows up in all over the place all the time. So just sharing that.
Thank you. Would
I guess having made the second, can I proffer a substitute motion? Because unless Wesley wants to retract, and I think that it'd be wise to separate the two questions. Wesley, I don't want to, but I'm prepared to support your perspective. I just kind of want to raise that as something I'm willing to do, but it's your motion. I don't want to second you and then raise a substitute motion. So I'm going to throw it back in your court. Thank you.
Well, I think if we take it one piece at a time, you know, we just have a lot of momentum here today, and a lot of people's time has gone into this process already. So I guess my concern about splitting them up is prolonging this process and hearing all of these viewpoints again and again until we make same or similar or different decisions. So I guess I'm feeling like I'd like to maintain my motion. Unless it's going against guidelines.
Call the question.
I'm not sure if it goes against any administrative directives, but if you're, as the motion maker, don't want to withdraw your motion, I believe it takes a 2/3 vote to pass it, unless you want to rescind it, and then we could reframe it.
Let's call the question and see how it goes.
Okay, so we'll be voting on the motion presented by Wesley. Tim?
Aye.
Kelly?
Nay.
Wesley?
Approve.
Anne?
No.
Okay, motion fails. Is there another motion on the table then?
I'll move that we direct the Arts Foundation cities to secure the pieces to a safe and secure location.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion by Jim, second by Kelly. The motion is to move or to direct Arts Foundation to move these sculptures to a secure location.
And a city. You don't need to do it alone.
Arts Foundation and the City of Tucson.
We only facilitate and recommend.
Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, I will do a roll call vote for that motion. Jim Glock?
Aye.
Kelly?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Wesley? Agree?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Motion carries. Any other discussion on this item?
I have another motion.
Okay.
So I'd like to move that the Arts Foundation continue with following the administrative directives in reaching out to the community and preparing the written report associated with our activities to date.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Second by Wesley. Any further discussion? I see none. I will do a roll call vote for this item, or this motion by Jim. Jim Glock?
Aye.
Kelly Wade?
Aye.
Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Motion carries. Anything left on this item? Any more discussion?
I have some discussion, but I think it relates back to the previous agenda item in relation to the administrative directives. I would respectfully request staff to forward the item 7, disposition A3, to the city attorney to determine whether or not artwork can be donated to nonprofits and not violate the Arizona's gift clause.
Jim, is this for item 9, the request additions for future agenda, or?
We could do that. Let's do that. Sorry. I don't want to complicate this any further than I already done. So.
Okay. So just for the record, we're moving on to item 9, request additions for future agenda items. And Jim, can you please restate that request?
Yes, please. I'd like to discuss an aspect of the public art program relocation and deaccession administrative directives, in particular item 7A3, donation of artwork. And I'm asking if it is donated to a private nonprofit, is that acceptable in the eyes of the Arizona Constitution's gift clause?
Thank you. Any other items for future agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn the meeting at 2:29 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, everyone, for your time, for volunteering.